folks. Welcome back. It is your friend Lisa Mason Ziegler, and this is the Field and Garden Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me, and I truly mean that. And if you are loving this podcast, then please drop into wherever you listen to this and drop a review. That just pushes those apps to show our podcast to more people. And there is nothing else you can do for me that means as much as that. And I read every one of them, and I appreciate y'all so very, very much. And I truly am a firm believer now that people just want the truth, and the truth literally will set you free. And what I mean by that is cutting out all the fluff and foo-foo and just getting down to business. And sometimes getting down to business is not as glamorous as what people want to think about, because friends, I'm here to tell you, being an entrepreneur business owner can be lonely, hard, you know, none of the things that people want to know about and hear about. And because that is the true path, I believe, to being successful, most people don't ever make it. So that's kind of what I'm going to talk about today, is I'm going to do some flower farming myth busters and some flower farming business truths. According to me, everybody has their own way, but I am of the mindset that a lot of the people that come to me, that follow me, that have come to be my friends and our big family, the TGW family, right, are people that truly want to embrace their passion, not make it a trap, embrace their passion, turn it into a small business that enhances their life, that doesn't take over their life, that they actually make money at doing for a multitude of reasons. You know, we've talked about some people are doing it to pay their mortgage, to pay their kids' private school, to pay the bills, to pay for a family vacation, to pay for something. You know, I'm all about goal setting. But anyway, I just thought I would share some of these. And, you know, if you're new to the Field and Garden Podcast, welcome aboard. This podcast is made possible by thegardenersworkshop.com. That is our home base, which is full of so many resources from this. You'll find our podcast there, and our podcast now has some new series. We have Seed Talk, and we have a lot of fun stuff going on, as well as kind of serious business stuff like I'm talking about today, as well as our online garden shop is there, where we only sell the same tools, seeds, and supplies that you hear me talk about and that I actually use here on my farm. And there's just so much over there, y'all. Endless blogs, tons of videos. We have an amazing library of online courses. If the time comes that you do need tools, seeds, and supplies, of course, my books are there also, as well as if you're looking to expand your horizons, we appreciate it when you consider us, because those outlets are what make all of our free content available. They're what support this growing, amazing team that is makes up the Gardener's Workshop. So first, you know, I'm doing a series of posts about flower farming myth busters, and they're the things that we just hear, and I struggled with these myself firsthand, and I hear from people over and over again. So I'm just going to kind of run through them. First and foremost, the one that I hear a lot about is that there are too many flower farmers already. I think the misconception is that people see a lot of people talking about being flower farmers. First off, being a flower farmer in my book, this isn't the rule. This is what I consider. You step from being a gardener to a flower farmer when you're actually selling your flowers. There's a lot of people stuck in that. They haven't built that bridge from becoming a gardener to a flower farmer. And I totally get it. It's hard. As I've already said, starting a business is huge. starting a business in something that you really don't know anything about, and you might be a stellar gardener, but friends, I'm here to tell you, it is totally different being a commercial grower. And that's one of the biggest struggles I see people. They have a hard time taking their gardener glasses off and putting their flower farmer business glasses on. And here's the bottom line. Most people are not willing to continue to be really bad at something long enough to get and gain the experience they need to actually succeed. I'll say that again, and I'm going to say it a little bit differently. Most people are not willing to screw up long enough to gain the experience to become successful. I mean, you have to really be willing to get beat up over and over and over again to make it to the finish line. Then to top that off, what typically happens is when you're stuck in that vacuum, most people, and I was stuck in this, I'm speaking from firsthand experience, y'all. So I'm not throwing rocks at anybody. I'm just telling you how it was for me. And then when you're stuck in that vacuum, you don't look beyond your own experience. And it just leads you to throw in the towel for people to quit. So here's the nugget at the end of that road is you never know where that rocky road will lead you if you don't stick with it and show up every day. So that's number one. The other one that we hear a lot, which was something I major league struggled with big time when I first started, is you think that you can't be a flower farmer because you don't have enough land. You don't have acres and acres. And friends, I didn't either. And here's the truth to that. Small, in my experience, small space growers, and I'm talking less than an acre, are some of the most successful out of the gate, and then go on to become highly efficient growers. You know, I started on less than a quarter acre, and for the first decade of my growing, I never had more than a half an acre working cutting garden. And friends, I was squeezing more flowers out of that half an acre, more flowers per square foot than I ever did as I got bigger. You know, I was forced to become so highly efficient that it just pushed me to be a better grower. You learn to become a stellar grower when you don't have endless land possibilities. And I mean, frankly, even if you had 10 acres, why would you not want to do that? That's less land to do weed prevention, you know, less land to walk, less garden to do everything on, less steps to become a highly efficient grower. So thinking you don't have enough space is not a reason to not pursue becoming a cut flower grower. And here is another whopper, but I don't have a hoop or greenhouse. Listen up, friends. I still don't have hoop and greenhouses. I'm in the middle of the city. It was not an option for me because of city ordinances. And so again, this pushed me to figure out another way to do it, other ways to do it. Oh my goodness. So for the first, I'm just trying to think. So I started growing in 1998 commercially. That's when I started selling flowers. In 2002 is when we built my work building, which is just a giant garage. That's actually what we told Steve it was going to be, a giant garage with a small space for my flower farming business. Actually, that building became my flower farming business. Anyway, that's a whole nother story, right? We built that work building in 2002, which gave me a 10 by 10 grow room. We just made one room in that building that would be designated, had a floor drain put in it. The joy of being married to a plumber, y'all. It has stainless steel racks and grow lights on it. And of course, because I soil block, I can squeeze a gazillion babies in a very small space. But the fact of the matter is, in that 10 by 10 room, I can start and support up to 13,000 seedlings in that small space at any one given time. And that really allowed me to produce the volume of seedlings that I was going to need for my three-season cutting garden, right? And of course, then, you know, I have an area outdoors where they would move to and be hardened off and so on and so forth. But the other part is not having hoop houses. So greenhouses are what most growers would use to do that in. Well, that's just not an option, so I found another way. Well, the other thing is that growing cut flowers, it's kind of a given. It used to be. It's not so much today as it was back when I started 25 years ago, whatever it is, that you had to have hoop houses to grow specific flowers indoors because you just couldn't grow them outside. And in fact, we have kind of blown that myth out of the pond too, that you just have to sharpen your skills and become a more skilled grower to do it outdoors. And it all depends. It's like you can, I believe, grow anything outdoors. It's just, is it worth growing everything outdoors? Is it too much work is what I mean for the end result, which is the bottom line, right? Because we're business people now. We're not just gardeners trying to grow stuff. So you can certainly do it without hoop and greenhouses. And here's another big one, y'all. So what is this, number three? I've already lost count. That you have to have a tractor. I did not have a tractor to work in my garden until after the first decade. Up until then, I used a walk-behind 8-horse Troy-Bilt tiller. And then when we were fortunate enough to gain the opportunity to purchase the adjoining acre and a half to our property, I mean, believe it or not, now I live in the middle of the city, y'all. They're not making more land here or anywhere, right? But to the fact that the 40-acre horse boarding farm next to me went into, because the owner, you know, was 97 and he passed away or was going to pass away, he found a way to actually be able to share an acre and a half with us without having to go through incredible expense through the city to allow us to do that. I never dreamed that would happen. I did not incorporate a tractor until that actually happened. And that's what allowed us to head straight into those high production years, which is really where I learned so much about farming and gardening, which I'll talk about that in a second. So you do not have to have a tractor. And now that there is so much information on no-till and how to do that and making that fit in, I do a little no-till on our farm. We're still primarily a conventional farm, and there's pros and cons on both sides of that fence. But I'm here to say you can grow volume. There are ways to go around that by being a low-till, no-till, to, as I share in Flower Farming School, there are other options if you don't own your own tractor. Don't let that stop you. And here is another of the myths. People are like, oh my gosh, I don't have $20,000 to start a business or $10,000 or whatever this preconceived idea is in your mind of what you need. And folks, I am here to tell you, starting with a low investment with the highest return and building your business on a cash-based business model. I still recommend that. I don't believe that anybody should go into debt to start a business. And folks, if that means you need to get a side hustle for 2 months to get the cash, or it means selling your whatever, or asking your parents for $1,000, asking somebody to borrow the money is the last case scenario. But I know that a lot of people do that. But I say you can start this business with far less money because people start investing in things they don't even know they need yet. So starting bootstrapped is what we are all about, and that is kind of my way of doing that. Then another is having no previous experience, meaning like a formal, perhaps, farming background or horticultural education. None of that is truly required. What you have to have that a lot of people don't have, you have to have drive. You have to have ambition. You have to have the push to show up and do the work every day. Because I'm telling you, friends, I read all over the place. People complaining about their businesses that they haven't done the work, that they didn't show up for, and they're expecting the rewards. There, I said it. I'm sorry. As I said earlier, it's not that I'm losing my filter. I am learning to share. One of the things that's becoming really clear to me is you have to do something over and over and over and over again to get good at it. And I'm not talking about a year or 2 years or maybe even 5 years, friends. You have to really do it. And then to become successful, to learn the steps that got you successful. I invite you to consider, where are you going to be a year from now if you don't try something new, get out of your own way? I heard Frank and Pamela Arnowski, the video, I don't know if it's still up and playing, that the ASCFG had made, oh my goodness, it must have been 10 or 15 years ago, that they hired some videographers to do a little documentary on cut flowers. And I can remember Pamela saying that when people, Pamela and Frank Arnowski are like the rock stars, right, of the beginning of the whole domestic cut flower industry being, the renaissance of that, right? And in that documentary, I can remember Pamela saying that when people, meaning people like us that are wanting to learn how to do what they're doing, when people would come to them to learn how to do it, she said the first thing we would say to them is you need to look to the organization, the ASCFG, if you want to get from point A to point Z as quick as possible, which is the way to success, then joining the association is a very important part of that, and then continuing your education. I want to say that those words still ring true today. People think becoming entrepreneurs is becoming successful and then it gets easy. It's becoming successful and continuing to learn, and it actually gets harder, y'all. But that's what feeds those of us that want to head down this entrepreneurial rabbit hole, right? Folks, I do invite you to head over to the Gardener's Workshop and learn more about our locally grown flower-based online schools. We have some of the top leading industry specialist people that have done it and done it successfully and are excellent instructors and teachers, have teacher hearts, and they're great at sharing it and have done it and continue to do it or have gone on to expand in other ways. I mean, there is just endless possibilities. So head over to thegardenersworkshop.com, Flower Farming School online, The Basics, which is my course, Flower Farming School, Growing Cut Flowers in Hoop and Greenhouses with Steve and Gretel, as well as Ellen Frost, Growing Your Business with Local Flower Sourcing, and Jenny Love's Farmer Florist School, The Wedding Process. It's not what so many people think. This is where the rubber meets the road, friends. The business side of doing all these businesses. Our goal is to offer you the steps to make it real and to make it possible for you to do it if that's the road you want to go down. And we're here to help you. So, folks, until we meet again, ciao. Before we close out, I want to share a note from one of our online course students. It's from Claire, and she writes, "Dear Lisa, I just finished your basic course, and I am so grateful for the generous information you shared. Thank you for all your time, energy to create, and offer of resources like this to aspiring farmers, gardeners, and established farmers. It was packed full of goodness. I feel even more excited to take on my first season. Sincerely, Claire." Friends, I'm sharing this note and others, as you'll hear through time, because I can't tell you how powerful encouraging other people are. I mean, the whole crew was so encouraged by Claire's note. It encourages you to encourage others and for others to encourage you, right? So we just wanted to share that with you. So friends, till we meet again, ciao.